Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. In the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus has given the Beatitudes, and at that point, he's been revealing some spiritual truths, and they were different than what they'd heard before. But in this section, especially when you get down to verse 21, Jesus starts to revolutionize the thinking of the Jews. He begins to say, you have heard it say, but I say. He begins to correct the teachings and the thoughts that the Jews had. Over time, they had gotten away from what God intended for his teachings, and in some ways even marginalized those teachings so that they didn't follow what God intended. It wasn't a matter of, don't kill your brother, but you could be mad and hold a grudge, etc. He says, no, that's not acceptable. So he begins changing those ways of thinking. We do the same today. We kind of set limits on our thoughts and our processes. We think, well, I didn't go so far as X, so I'm okay. We think that's the line in which we cross, and there we sin. Jesus is trying to bring that line backward so that we stop the thoughts that lead to the overt actions. He also makes this statement in verse 17, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets, I've come to fulfill them. And so understand that when he makes these corrections, he's not changing anything. He's not truly giving something completely different. He's telling them, God always wanted you to control yourselves in a better level than what you're understanding or what you're teaching each other and what you're practicing right now. When we get into tomorrow's reading, we're going to get into him talking about adultery and divorce and swearing oaths. And he keeps on doing this changing of what people are thinking, moving that line backward so that they can protect themselves. This is for our own benefit. He's teaching to pull this line backward so that you have less chance of crossing the line. So if I control my thoughts and I don't harbor evil thoughts toward my brother, then I'm not going to turn around and kill him, am I? So by pulling that line backward, we actually reduce the chance of sinning and even temptation itself. Well, let's back up to verse 13 and address this first section here about salt and light. You know, salt is a preservative. Salt is, well, we use it a lot for flavor today, but then they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have all the things we have. And so they would use salt in order to cure meats and make them last much longer. So he says, if the salt has lost its taste, in other words, lost its usefulness, lost its ability to do what it's designed to do, then how would it be restored? It can't be. It can't be restored. It's completely useless at that point. It can't be used for anything. So he said, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. You know, it's like the dirt. You know, there's nothing you can do with it. And then he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Those that follow God are not intended to hide away. I know that sometimes we might have that thought that we'd kind of like to hide away because of the things we see in the world, but he says, no, you're there to be a preservative. You are there to shine the light of Christ and the truth out into the world so that there's some measure of influence that is there. And we have to be careful that we don't become hermits so that we can't do that at all. Verses 17 through 20, of course, he makes that statement about he didn't come to abolish but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he makes the point that if you relax them, if you change those so that it's not what God intended, then there's going to be a judgment that comes upon you. And verse 20, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. When we get to chapter 7, he's going to expound upon that a little bit more. So when we get to verse 21, again, he's correcting those thoughts. And he said, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I say, whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Well, if you harbor anger, then that can turn to evil intention and murder. And so he says, you know, don't go down that path. So, whoever insults his brother, liable to the council. Who says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. And so he says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave that gift and go and first be reconciled. In other words, we can harbor ill feelings to the point that it would hinder our worship toward God. And we need to clear those things up, get them out of the way, so that we can worship God in spirit the way that we're supposed to. So we still need to think about this today. If I've got things that are going on in my life, sinful things, and I haven't resolved them, then I come to worship God, my worship is hindered because I'm separated from God by sin. That needs to be rectified. It needs to be cleared up. And first of all, we should not be allowing sin to run rampant in our lives and not be repenting. It, in my mind, Sunday is the last day to be considering repentance. What I mean by that is, if I'm sinning on Friday, I need to be repenting on Friday. I don't need to wait till Sunday. When I come to worship God on Sunday, hopefully I've already cleared up any problems that are going on. Now, is there a possibility I'm still struggling with things? I'm still dealing with temptation and I'm still dealing with consequences of sin? Sure. But Jesus is saying, your worship can be hindered, so get these things cleared up. Don't allow sin to continue in your life. Repent of it at the moment rather than waiting. Well, that finishes out our reading for today. We will pick up with verse 27 in tomorrow's reading. This gives us some things to think about today and consider. And I would ask that you also continue in prayer that God may be with us all.